The question is this: is the God we serve exclusive or is he inclusive? Very, very important message that I wish I could get and scream this from the housetops. Is he exclusive or inclusive? But before I get into the question, I went to Webster's Dictionary, and I want you to understand, for them that are out there that really don't understand the word itself. Exclusive, according to Webster's Dictionary, excluding, listen, excluding others as from a part or share. Listen carefully. Exclusive means excluding others as from a part of or a share of. Okay. Inclusive is including everything. Is including everything. And I want you to, when you hear me say these words, exclusive and inclusive, I want you to put what God, what the dictionary says about the words, along with how God Almighty is, and how the world has taken God's exclusiveness and became inclusive. Very, very important, because as we go on, brethren, we're going to need God Almighty to take us and protect us, because all this here is going to come to, it's coming to a boil, and we need to be protected by God Almighty. We can't do it ourselves. We need the angels of God around us to keep the diseases and the plagues and the terribleness that's coming on this world. But we'll have to deal with it for a short time, and that's guaranteed by God Almighty. Exactly what he did in Egypt, he will do for those that are spiritual Israelites and those that are true Israelites that got the message that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and is also exclusive, because you and I cannot get to God through any other religion. And we're going to see this, because we're going to see Jesus Christ himself bear these words out. And you know what? When you hear these words from the Word of God and the Son of God, who is God in the flesh, these people and them that don't understand it need to put that in their pipe, and they need to smoke it. Because that's the way it is. This is bottom line. This is bottom line, brethren. Listen carefully. Let's go right from the beginning, where it all starts, and we end in Revelations. As much as I can, I try to do that, brethren. Let's go to Genesis 2. Let's go right off the bat. Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Genesis 2. 7 through 17. And listen carefully, brethren. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Listen, we're going to see where God is exclusive also. Listen. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it was parted and became into four heads. Let's drop down to 15. I got a lot to say, and I don't want it to be on things that are not necessarily what I want to be hammering in. 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. My question to you, brethren, is that exclusive enough from you? To know when God says not to do something, that man can't say, well, you know, I'll touch it. God says, don't even touch it. He says, don't even eat of it. Now, mankind, from the time of the fall of Adam and Eve, guess what? There was another presence in that garden. No matter who you could look upon in the world, there's always a foundation of where it came from. Always a foundation where it came from, whether it's good or it's evil, whether it's exclusive or whether it's inclusive. God is exclusive. And we're going to show that right from the beginning, where two human beings, not being Jew or Gentile, started, that God put in that garden of Eden, and he told them right from the get-go what they were going to do and what his standards were at that time for what they were going to do and what they couldn't do. And notice, they couldn't tell God Almighty what they could do, not even for a little speck that would take a magnifying glass to find on this table here. Had they done it in any kind of a way, it would have brought death to them and eventually to mankind. And you and I are sitting right here today because of this deal of exclusivity. Not inclusive. Nor were they trying to be exclusive, inclusive, these two beings. I want you to know that also. They just made a big boo-boo. And you and I are paying for it today. But we're going to go by the pages of God and see that his standards are exclusive to the present day and right past where we are today into the kingdom of God and beyond. That God wants you and I to get what exclusive is. And brethren, I want you to know right from the start, there will come a time that you and I will never have to think of what the standards of God are anymore. We will be in that position where that's all we will do and understand, and there will be no evil thoughts in our mind whatsoever. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. And with Revelation 21, the start of that time is all about getting to that point. But God has a lot in store for this poor, unsuspecting world. A lot coming for them. And horrible, horrible ways, horrible ways. Listen carefully, brethren. Go with me, if you will, to Exodus 4. Exodus 4. Exodus 4, and we'll go right on and right on until we get into the New Testament and beyond. Listen carefully, brethren. Listen carefully. Exodus 4. Exodus 4, 10 through 17. Listen carefully. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore nor since you have spoken unto your servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who has made man's mouth? Or who has made the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray you, by the hand of him whom you will send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you shall speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall say. This is the beginning of what the exclusive is also with God. He will teach you what he will say. Moses and Aaron were not going to teach God what he should say. Listen carefully. And he shall be your spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even he shall be to you instead of a mouth for a mouth, and you shall be to him for a God. For a God. Listen carefully, brethren. And you shall take this rod in your hand, and you shall take this rod in your hand where therewith, and you shall do signs and wonders. When the Lord told, I believe it was Aaron at the time, to take that rod and cast it down in front of Pharaoh, who had just cast down two rods that became snakes. What a tremendous miracle that was on their behalf. Listen carefully how Satan the devil works, because Egypt was always depicted as Satan the devil. Listen carefully. Who has tremendous powers, even to this day, as we should speak, who would like to break me in half right now for the teachings that you're going to get today. But praise God's holy name that he has angels that you can't see with the eyes that are surrounded here, right here, protecting us as I speak and you hear. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. What a tremendous miracle. But now, let's look at exclusive and inclusive. The Lord says, throw down your staff. Aaron says, hey, not going to do it. But I'm going to do this over here. I'm not going to throw down the staff. Is that not inclusive? Is that not inclusive? No, but Aaron took that staff and he threw it down. And it became a serpent. And it swallowed up those two snakes that were up against it, which represented Satan the devil. The Lord swallowed those two up immediately. Listen, we're going to start building a foundation of what God wants of you and I. And he is not inclusive. And you're going to get it. And you're going to understand it. Now, would you do with it after I close this Bible and after this sermon is done, brethren, and them on the tape, is what you do with it, and it's your choice. Because you're hearing from the pages of God Almighty, and we're going to get real serious to almost the present day of what God is, and that he is definitely exclusive and not inclusive. Then you're going to have to deal with it, brethren. Don't look to bomb Ricky. Go look to bomb God if you want to bomb God, because these are his words. They're not my words. But listen, he's given me the ability to go line upon line and precept upon precept according to Isaiah 28, that his ministers that take the law of God and take it seriously, and they take the statutes and the judgments and they take it seriously, he gives them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to share to the brethren. Yes, he does. You wouldn't want to hear God talking to you no more than Moses' people wanted to hear it. Because his voice is loud as loud can be, and it's intense, and it's telling you right there what you're going to do, and not what he's telling you, what you and I need to do, but he's not looking for any of your feedback to tell him what you want to do, no more than you would expect your children to tell you what to do. Understand that this is a big, tremendous part. But when he made you and I to have children, it's the same trickle down. Tell me one parent here that's all there and not high on drugs and stupidness that would allow their children or want them to tell them, I say you don't do this for your well-being, yet you go and do it and you get hurt and I got to pick the pieces up. Tell me one here or on the tape or in this world that's all there that would have that kind of an understanding. Guess what? God wants you and I to be doing exactly that as the Father, and I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 2,000 years old. God is still infinite. God doesn't die. He has none of these proclivities as we have, but he wants you and I to do exactly what he says, and nothing more. Yes, when we stumble and fall, the blood of Jesus Christ covers us, but we start to practice sin. Because this world wants God out of their repertoire.
so they can go and practice sin according to Romans, the book of Romans 1. You need to go there and read that and see if it doesn't fall today with God gave them up because of their practices of homosexuality and all these things. It's right there in the given word of God. These men wrote as God inspired them. They didn't write with their own understanding. They would have never got that close to one another. Don't forget, we're talking thousands of years. And they're right on the money. Only God Almighty could do this. Allah couldn't do this. No elephant God could do this. Only the God that does speak and He does hear and He does have mercy on you and I. This is the God that we serve. But He expects it to be exclusive and not inclusive. Listen carefully, brethren, as I go on, please. As I go on, let's go to Exodus 19. Exodus 19. This is very, very pointed, brethren, because now we're going to get into what God Almighty is talking about. The Lord, before He became Jesus the Christ, is the one that is going to be speaking right now through the pages of God, but I'm speaking it to them in your ears like a parrot. Like a parrot, I'm not adding, nor I'm going to take away. But you need to listen. And you need to understand what God is saying. This is the Almighty God speaking, Jesus Christ before He became this Christ. And He did everything through the Father, not taking one thing away from the Father. Because He's always numero uno, always number one. Listen carefully, brethren, please. Let these words sink in this understanding in your ears today where you could start to get it. We're going to start at verse 3, brethren. And we're going to go through 25. It's very, very important that we do these things because you need to be hearing these things. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you up on eagle's wings. You can find that in Psalms 19. Psalms 91, how the Lord bears you up on eagle's wings is protection. Listen carefully. And brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, listen, exclusive, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, which is found in Deuteronomy 4, which is the commandments of God, the standards of God, is the covenant of God, which is everlasting. Listen, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. What a tremendous statement. All the earth is mine. Listen, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. Listen carefully, brethren. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded them. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Don't forget, He told them what they would do, not them to Him. Listen. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I come unto you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them. In other words, set them aside today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai, and you shall set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you go not up to the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. Was that a joke? Did God really mean what he said? Yes, he did. Why? Because he's exclusive. Anything, even an animal, I'm going to keep going here, even an animal that broke that would be shot with an arrow, pierced through with either an arrow or however they did it, and a human being would die immediately. Listen carefully. There shall not a hand touch it. Listen, not a hand touch the mountain, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, wherever it be, beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. Never forget the question, brethren, all the way through. Is God we serve exclusive, or is he inclusive? And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, and come not at your wives. Don't come at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Imagine that. God Almighty on Mount Sinai. Listen carefully, brethren. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the neither part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai and the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, as people are even today. They don't get it. They just have that intuition built into them that they've got to go and see what's going on. And this is what the Lord said, knowing how he built human beings. They go unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord set themselves, sanctify themselves, set aside, lest the Lord breaks through upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you charge us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away get down. In other words, go down, and you shall come up, you and Aaron with you. But let not the priest and the people, listen carefully, brethren, break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break up through upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spoke unto them. Listen carefully. This is where it gets heavy. This is where it gets heavy. And I want you to be able to look at these words, and I want you to know that God Almighty, before he became the Christ, is the one speaking from this moment on in your ears, but you're going to hear it also audibly by his servant also, and you're going to hear these words in your ears, but you read them. You read them and take them to heart, and then you tell me which of these commandments that you could add to or you could take away to. Please, show me where you could be inclusive to the Almighty God. We're going to start right now. Listen carefully, brethren. And this is for the world at large that say they are Christians. But the Word of God in the book of Revelation to the churches uses the term that these people, I'm going to paraphrase, say they are Jews and are not. The reason why the Lord used the word Jews, because those are the ones that God gave the standards to for safekeeping. Now, if you want to add Christianity to that, true Christianity, This is what it would say, paraphrasing. These that say that are Christians and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan the devil. Now God Almighty is saying these words. Are they heavy? Boy, they're backbreakers. But are they exclusive also? Yes, they are. But the God that we serve is saying these things, who is exclusive and not inclusive, and not by the mouth, only by the mouth of Ricky, but you can go there and see it for yourself. If it's not there, then give it no regard or pay it no mind. But if it is there, then you as a human being, singular, with choice, you deal with it. You deal with it. I have to deal with it. Every single day, as Paul said, I die daily, and so does Ricky. What are you doing daily? Are you doing the same things? Are you using God's word exclusively or inclusively? Listen carefully, brethren. Chapter 1 through 26, chapter 20. Listen carefully. Right from the beginning, I want you to hear who's speaking. And God spoke all these words, saying, he was speaking as I'm speaking to you right now. Listen. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. He brought you and I out of the house of bondage in this day that we're in right now, exclusively. Listen, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto you any graven images. That's the second commandment, that men have become inclusive. The mother church has taken away the second commandment and did away with that, and split the last two commandments, and brought in their own Sabbath day. I want you to hear these things, and I want you to hear that God is exclusive and not inclusive. Man cannot do these things and not suffer for doing them. Yes, they will, in time. But you and I doing these things right here that's being said by God Almighty are going to be protected by God Almighty. However he does it, his angels work for him. As if I would send one of my men on a call to a home, to a house to start a car. Those men work for me, and they obey me or they don't work for me. And that's the same thing would happen to Satan the devil. He wanted to be inclusive. And God said, you're out of here. You could come to visit, but this is not your home anymore. Listen carefully what I'm saying here. This is not your home anymore. But you can come to and fro. I'll listen to your paraphrasing that I'm saying. I'll listen to your nonsense. As he did in Job. Read the book of Job in the beginning and see if Satan the devil wasn't up there. And who was the one that enticed Satan the devil to look at Job? It was the Lord. It was the Lord. Pray to God Almighty that he never put you in that position of Job. Never, not even a little bit. What a man. What a man of God Job was. Listen carefully, brethren. This we know has been done. I had this in my Bible right here, and I've showed many of you what the Catholic Church has done in being inclusive. Remember, this is God Almighty speaking right from verse 1. And you shall not make unto you any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Do you get it? Do you understand that God Almighty understood that we would be able to go out of this atmosphere? Do you understand that by submarine use we could do all kinds of stupidness? Or dig deep ravines and valleys and tunnels and still do the ignorance and doing what God says up. But no, God Almighty is exclusive, and He knows men, and He knows the future. That's why these statements are here. So you could exclusively listen to God Almighty and not your own spirit. Listen. You shall not bow down yourself to them. Do they? Yes, they do. I was a Catholic once. Nobody could tell me that they don't go in front of St. Anthony or St. Christopher or whoever it is, and they don't kneel down and bow down to that image and don't ask that image for something when God Almighty in the flesh went through the veil and said that you come to me. You come to me. You don't go to Santa Claus. You don't go to Santa Claus and ask him for these things. You come to me, who's exclusive. I said to you that these things, all have foundational points. Was there different, where they got this thing, Santa Claus and all this stuff? Was these things out there as a foundation? Didn't I bring you to the very beginning of mankind, where we had man and woman and Satan the devil? And we could look back there for that foundation and see where they went wrong. And the world today, on this day, is doing the same exact thing as far as being inclusive. But we're going to get there. We're going to let God's Word speak. Because when I get to Jeremiah 10, it says a lot. And you and I are going to go there. Most of us have been there, but some of us sitting here today haven't. Most of them on the tape haven't heard these things before at any time, but you need to. In this question that I'm posing it in, have you heard the scriptures in different areas? Yes, you have. But I'm narrowing down and bringing to a dot today this question, because I want to show you that we serve a God Almighty that doesn't play games like we play in our lives. And as we serve God sometimes, listen carefully, brethren, I'm guilty of that, but I'm only flesh. And in the beginning of the opening prayer, I believe I said, please, Lord, remember that we're only flesh. David had the same prayer. Listen carefully, brethren, we're only flesh. Listen. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the sins of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy, listen, this is New Testament doctrine, listen carefully, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. It's found in 1 John 5:3. It's New Testament doctrine, and it's not only found there. It's exclusive, brethren. Even John, when he was writing these things, maybe in 95, 96, 97 A.D., after Christ, was still saying the exclusiveness of God Almighty, who he saw nailed to a cross. He saw that and witnessed that. He said he was an eyewitness to these things. And all the apostles, and all them that saw these things of the day, they said it was over 500 that actually saw the Lord walking around as I'm looking at you. Actually saw the Lord. Listen carefully, brethren. This man, 96, 97 years after the death of Jesus Christ, could have said anything he wanted. He could have brought on all the inclusiveness of that we're seeing in this world today. Did he? No, he didn't. He went all the way back in his mind, as we do today, with the Spirit of God, and know that God is exclusive. And this is New Testament doctrine that I just read in your ears today. And you on the tapes, listen carefully. Listen carefully. And like I pray, that these go into your hearts today. And you understand, and you start doing something about it. You start making an about face in your lives and start going in another direction. And if you're doing things that are not right, start doing things that are right, that are exclusive to God. And go by the standards of the Almighty God that came down from Mount Sinai, first in an audible voice and then on stone. A lot of people don't even know that. But you're hearing in your ears today because the first statement says, and God spoke. As I'm speaking to you, listen carefully, brethren. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Which day is that, brethren? It's the day that you're keeping today. Not tomorrow, today. God said the Sabbath day is the seventh day. Well, it is the seventh day when you go to the book of Genesis, because he rested on that day, which God never had a rest. But he made it a saint. He sanctified us through that day. And we'll go on to see also that that day is exclusive to God. Even when these people were brought out to Mount Sinai, down below Mount Sinai, were 40 years in the desert, walking in a circle until all, most of them died that were 20 and above. But I'm going to show you how important that Sabbath day is, which the church, the mother church, and it's truly the mother church who was inclusive, took that day and changed it. And changed it along with idolatry. Do they know what they're doing? You bet. Why would they take it out? If they didn't think it was wrong, then why did they remove it? That's the key. They removed it because they want to be inclusive. Listen carefully what the Lord says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Of course, that is occupational, brethren. The world, and even some people in the churches of God, want to be better than God Almighty. This is occupational. When you go to look up the word, it's the word is 4399. I do this homework because it's very, very important to say to people outside the churches and then inside the churches so they don't burden themselves. So if they want to go out and eat after and extend the Sabbath day amongst brethren, they can. They can. Listen carefully, brethren. But on the seventh day, listen, is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no other work, you nor your son nor your daughter, your manservant nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. Where is your gate? It's which you and I are control of. I'm in control of Ricky's auto repair and his home. I'm not in control of Burger King. I can't go over there and tell them that. That's not within my gate. The Lord is looking at you and me, what you are in control of, which you have the choice to make of. And if you want to be, as the world is, inclusive, then you continue to worship God on the first day of the week. God told us which day to worship on. Are you worshiping God on the first day of the week and saying that God is going to accept this? As far as he's concerned right now, I could say on his behalf, because he's speaking here to you and I say no, you cannot worship God on Sunday. When he says it's Saturday, now after I worship God on Saturday, can I have every day of the week that I could worship God on my behalf at the shop and things like that and speak of God? Of course. But exclusively, God says, come out of this world and worship me on the Sabbath day. See, that other twist is Satan the devil that always wants to make God to be a liar and says, oh, the seventh day, we don't have to do that no more. We have to be good every day of the week. You know how many times I've heard that? And you want to know something? That's another half-truth from Satan the devil. Exactly what he did to the woman. You shall not surely die. In other words, God's lying to you. You won't surely die. Did they surely die?
Are your parents still alive? No, they're not. For the most case, maybe. And maybe some of they are. But while they're here, brethren, respect them and enjoy them, because God says, as a flower, they come from a cedar, they blossom, they were young, handsome young men, and then we start to go the other way, and that's why, and then we're gone. And then we're gone, brothers and sisters. So understand what I'm talking about. Enjoy your parents. But understand also that you're going to see them again. You will see them again. If not in the first resurrection, surely you will in the second. I could tell you that on behalf of God Almighty and not have to stutter about it. I don't have to stutter about it. I know the plan of God's salvation. I'm trying to share it with you and myself also. But listen carefully, brethren. Listen carefully what I got to say here. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth on behalf of his Father. Listen, to find that, all you have to go is John 1, verse 10, paraphrasing, he was in the world, he created all the worlds, yet the world knew him not. That was Jesus Christ before he became the Christ on behalf of his Father. This is who he's speaking right here. To them in their ears before he became the Christ and died so terribly and got beat so unmercifully and went to the cross for you and I, but in a time fashion, the saints of God first, then all them that ever lived will be brought up and judged and taught and have to walk the same walk Ricky and them that understand what they're hearing right now are going to have to walk. And if we fail here, the only thing for us is Gehenna fire, not even brought up in the second resurrection, the third, because we had the truth of God and full knowledge. But them that come up in the second resurrection, that will be their first time to hear the word of God. But they will have to walk like we're trying to walk today. If not, that is what Gehenna fire was reserved for also, according to Matthew 25, not only Satan, the devil, and his demon, but for them that are going to get thrown into Gehenna fire, according to the end of Revelation 20. If nobody was going to be thrown in there, brethren, there'd be no reason for it to be there, nor the Lord to elaborate and say, also in 1 Corinthians 15, that is the last enemy, which is death. And after that, there will be no more death. The Spirit and the kingdom of the Father takes off from there. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, not now, and read it from about maybe 58 or 59 on. And then go to see what the Lord has to say in Revelation 21, how there's a new heaven and a new earth. Listen, brethren, listen. Most of the world can't connect the dots. Like I said to you, it's not their fault, brethren. But God is, the Lord has got a church in the midst of you, according to Matthew 16, or the Lord is a liar, because he said the gates of hell would not be able to prevail against the church of God. And he says also in the book of Luke, that it is his good pleasure, little flock, to give you the kingdom of God. Listen to God's words in key fashion. When he says little flock, that's not millions and millions and millions and billions and billions of people that are on this earth today. Out of 6 billion people, and I'm talking about them, brethren. He's talking maybe about a couple of million on this earth. According to 6 million is a drop in the proverbial bucket. But that's who the Lord is talking about when he says, it is my Father's good pleasure, little flock, paraphrasing, to give you the kingdom of God. Listen carefully, brethren. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath, and he hallowed it. He set it aside for you and I and all of mankind, But he'll get it in a timing, brethren.
Listen carefully. Here we go. Jumping off. Just go back quickly to Exodus 16, 4 and 5. And then I'm going to move on, brethren. I'm going to move on. But I want you to see how God Almighty looks at different things. Let's go to Exodus 15, verse 26. Verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, Moses, cried unto the Lord, and made for them a statute and an ordinance that he may prove them. And he said, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all the statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals. Most of the diseases that you're seeing around us today have come from Egypt. And them people knew what they were. We don't. And we didn't. Listen. Chapter 16. Verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my laws or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and that shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Drop down to verse 23. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Take that which you will bake today, and see that you will see, and that which remains overlay up for you to keep until the morning. They had lost when they went into and were walking around 40 days and 40 days. They had lost the Sabbath day. Now, the Lord at that time was starting to bring back the things that he originated and his standards and his exclusiveness. That's why he said, I will see by the Sabbath day whether they will obey me or not and keep really the rest of my laws. See? The rest of my... Now, this is God Almighty saying this. I'm only, again, parroting these things. Listen carefully, brethren. Verse 25. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall find nothing in the field. 6 days you shall gather, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath. In it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day. People are people, again. Them that would have gazed to go up and be stoned and run through, that would have touched the mountain of God. Same people as we speak today are the same. Listen. They went out on the seventh day, and they found none. Did the Lord say they wouldn't? Listen, through Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long did they refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See for that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he keeps you on the sixth day. He gives you the bread on the sixth day, twice as much for every man in his place. And he says, let no man go out on the seventh day. So the people did rest on the seventh day. Brother, you know the rest of the story. They didn't obey God. That's why most of them didn't go into the fleshly type of kingdom of God. And them that did, God had to take them out of there and bring Babylon unto them and the Assyrians and everybody else, because they didn't want to listen to God, because they felt that they were inclusive. They brought idols in front of God Almighty. And he says, and Exodus 20, did I not read to you what God says? And where he says, no matter where on this earth, or in the skies, or under the sea, that you shall have none of these things. He's exclusive. When you become inclusive, and you know these things, God starts to really hammer you good, individually. And not saying that he's going to take the Spirit of God from you. No, I'm not saying that. Nor is he going to kill you to death. But he's going to give you a very, very, very hard road to hoe. Look what happened to David. Did he have the Holy Spirit? Yes. Did after he got the knowledge that he knew that he was a murderer and everything else that went with that? Did he change? Did he repent? Did he walk the other way? Yes, he did. But guess what? The man suffered terribly because of his choices and his mistakes. But will he be in the kingdom of God? You bet he will. You bet he will. And that's the wonderful thing for you and I. So I would say to you and Ricky, hearing the same words, be very careful with your choices, because you will have to pay for them. God will, in the flesh, let you pay for those choices that you make. But you're not going to keep you out of the kingdom of God unless you start practicing sin and trampling the blood of his son underfoot, which you could find in Hebrews 10, around 32. Them that have full knowledge and trample the blood underfoot of Jesus Christ, that is the unpardonable sin. That, brethren, is the unpardonable sin where there is no forgiveness for. If you keep going and you die in those sins, the only thing you could look for is Gehenna fire, and that's one of the few things that you and I could take to the bank. Listen carefully, brethren. Leviticus 26, and then I'm going to jump right to the, I'm going to just hit one more, and I'm going to go right exclusively to the New Testament. Listen carefully. Leviticus 26, 1 through 5. You shall make no idols, nor graven images, nor rear you up any standing image. What does that mean? That I could say, well, you know what? Way back then, you know, there was St. Paul. I'm going to raise him up. That's inclusive, brethren. Not exclusive. What have we been told here? Listen. Neither rear you up any standing image. I don't care what it is. Listen. Neither shall you stand up any image of stone in your land to bow down to unto it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep the Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. When he says Sabbath, those are the holy days of God that you could find that they just passed in speaking about in Leviticus 23. Listen. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, that I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her fruit, and your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread in full, and dwell in your land safely. That's also for today, brethren. For you and I today, I see many people that are suffering terribly, but they don't know how to come to God. If God is calling you, do something about it. What a wonderful thing it is to have the Almighty call you out of 6 billion. Don't forget, he's been calling people out from generation to generation, right from poor Abel. Listen, right from poor Abel that Cain killed, you find in Hebrews 11, he's waiting for you and I and Christ to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Right from the very beginning, brethren, where there was no Jew and there was no Gentile, where Abraham, when he believed God, according to Romans, was he circumcised or uncircumcised? He was uncircumcised. Also starting God's premise, what he wanted to do, Of course, he also came and he was circumcised, but also showing that one day, as Christ brought in, it's said in Isaiah also, that he would bring in the other fold, according to John 10, which is the Gentiles who are uncircumcised. But today, you and I have to be circumcised in heart. That was the whole premise. You go to Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and you could find these things. Get a concordance and see if it's full of baloney, or whatever you want to say. No, you're going to find he's not. This is the way God worked. Because the circumcision went from physical to the heart. And it's here to you and I today. When you go to Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 8, you'll find that circumcision's of the heart. And Romans 2, I believe the last verse, circumcision is the circumcision that becomes circumcision of the heart. For Jew and Gentile alike. That was God's whole thing. That's why he had the Jews and the Romans crucify Christ at the cross. Because that represents him as a symbolism, the whole world of mankind. That's why God chose those two to do the job. And they both did it. They could look to one another, but they're looking at themselves in the mirror. Listen, but it was by design, brethren. Listen carefully. I want to go to Jeremiah 10, and then we're going to go to New Testament real quick. For the benefit of them here today that don't and never heard this before, and them that are on the tape. Listen carefully. Jeremiah 10, I'm going to wait till you get there because this is that important. And then we're going to go right to the New Testament and go right through it quickly. Are we ready? Are we there? Here we go. Jeremiah 10, the 10th chapter, starting at verse 1, and listen to what's being said here right from the get-go, like I read to you in Exodus 20. Hear you the word of the Lord, which the Lord speaks to you. Yours says unto you, it's to you. To you, O house of Israel. If you're not a spiritual Israelite, then don't listen to what's being said here. Don't listen to what's being said here. Because the Lord said, unless you are, you're none of his. Unless you have the spirit of Christ and a spiritual Israelite, you are none of God's. Listen here carefully. When he spoke to Israel, he spoke to you, speaking to you and I and the Gentiles and every human being that populated this earth from now to the time that God says it's over, are going to have to listen to what's being said here. Listen. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the ways of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen, the nations, are terrified at them. That's what it says from the original. But that's where I go, and I do these things when I see a very important statement that needs to be understood. For the custom of the people are vain. For one cuts down a tree out of a forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it does not move. They are upright. See, it's almost like idolatry also. That's what's being said here. Guess what, brethren? This is 3,000 years or 4,000 years ago that this was written. If I read this in your ears today and I covered everything and I just brought you somewhere, not the Old Testament, would it seem like it was the Christmas tree? Yes, it would. This is 4,000 years ago, brethren. But what the Lord is saying here also is, they are upright as a palm tree. In other words, they just stand there. They just stand. They don't speak. They must be born because they cannot go. They can't move. Because they're nailed there, they're inanimate objects. That's what they are. Be not afraid of them, because they cannot do any evil, neither can they do any good, as it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto you, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations?
Go right to today. I don't care how many nations are in this world. That's what it's talking about. There's one God, one Lord, and one family of God. He's talking to your and my ears today. And he said, don't do it. Don't do these things exclusively. Don't do it. Now, brethren, we're going to go exclusively to the New Testament. Let's go. Matthew 15. Matthew 15, brethren. Matthew 15. Now we're going to get to start to see how God does not change. Man and women change. The Almighty doesn't. Matthew 15, brethren. Listen carefully. 1 through 20. And the scribes and the Pharisees from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, who was God in the flesh, and never forget that. What you got to do is go back to Matthew 3 and find out what the angel of God said, who this man was and who this child was going to be. God in the flesh. God with us. Listen. Saying, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? In other words, from exclusiveness to inclusiveness. That's what God, the Lord, was saying to them. I'm exclusive. God Almighty is exclusive, as I read from you, brethren, from the Old Testament. The Lord who died for you and I is saying the same thing, but these men were inclusive because of tradition. Listen, listen, brethren. Children can understand these things. You need to be understanding them also. Understand what tradition is. It's brought in by mankind and not by God Almighty. Listen carefully. Are there some wonderful traditions like Thanksgiving? Absolutely. Hanukkah? Absolutely. We do it. Even God Almighty, even the Lord kept Hanukkah. But when it starts to cross the line with God, you need to stop. As if it was on fire. As if you poured coffee on your hands. You need to stay away from it. That's an inside joke, but that's what my brother-in-law did last night, and he was scalded. I'm telling you, scalded. But you look at his hands right now, and you see if you see a dot on there. Because God Almighty protected him, just as he did to one of those three children that walked in to the furnace of God, and not even the smoke was on their robes. God Almighty, when you walk with God, he walks with you. He's sitting right here, my son-in-law. Ask him the pain that he went through. But it was gone. And there's not a mark on him. As a matter of fact, if you looked at his hand, you would say, I'm lying to you. Ask him the pain he went through last night. I was there to witness it. Listen carefully, brethren. These are up-to-date testimonies. Listen. But he answered and said unto them, why do you transgress the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. Isn't that the fifth commandment? And the one who speaks evil of father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whoever shall say to father and mother, whatever benefits you might receive from me is being given as a gift to the temple. Listen, to the temple. He is not at all obligated to honor his father and his mother. These men were sitting in Moses' seat when you go to Matthew 23. But look at the mindset they had at that time. Look at the mindset today, at this moment, today, as we speak. The tradition of men is alive and well. But God says, don't do it. Listen. And you have made void the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition.
Is Jesus Christ saying this in your ears today to me or not? If you don't understand and you don't want to adhere to that, then you have a problem with God Almighty, as I always say, not with Ricky. Hypocrites! Hypocrites! Isaiah prophesied well concerning you, saying, this people draws near to me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. That's today also, brethren. Listen. But they worship me in vain, teaching for doctrine that it's God Almighty speaking, the commandments of men. And after calling them to him, he started to say to them, of course I'm going to paraphrase because I want to move on, that it's not what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man, not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out. Never forget that, brethren. Be careful of your words and what you speak and what you say, but that's what defiles the man. Because that's what comes from the heart, not what you put in your body. Of course, we know that we don't eat pork, because that's one of the things even they knew of the day. We don't eat unclean things according to Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. We don't eat unclean things. These men knew this. The Lord didn't have to say to them, oh, well, don't forget, all those that don't eat pork out here. He didn't have to say that. These were people of the day and knew God's standards, that he wasn't inclusive. He says, don't eat it. We don't eat it till today. And we're not going to eat it. Listen carefully, brethren. Listen carefully. Mark 7. We're just going to run. I'm not going to do that much speaking right now. I'm just going to go right on. And I did enough for you to get it, but I want you to see what the words of God have to say. Mark 7, 5 through 13. Listen carefully, brethren. It's kind of a take-up on the same thing of Matthew 15, but with just a little bit of a twist. Listen carefully. For this reason, the Pharisees and the scribes questioned him, saying, why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders, but do eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered them and said, well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites, as it is written, you people honor me with your lips and with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. But in vain do they worship, teaching the doctrines of men. For leaving the commandment of God, you hold fast the traditions of men, such as the washing of pots, and all these things that you do. Then he said to them, full well that you reject the commandments of God, so that you may observe your own tradition. For Moses sent Aaron your father, and he goes on with that also to say it. John 14, brethren. We're spiraling real quick to the end. I want to go right to the end, but I want you to see how the Lord your God is exclusive also. Listen carefully. John 14, 1 through 7, brethren. Listen carefully. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. Listen carefully. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You show me where you could find Peter, Paul, or anybody right now, here and now. You can't, because Christ has got to come back and resurrect them with you and I, to meet Christ in the air, to be with them. Do you know how the world has twisted those scriptures? Listen carefully. There is nobody up in heaven speaking audibly except Jesus Christ. Everybody else is asleep, waiting for the resurrection. It says so right there. All you got to do is think about it. Listen. And where I am going, you know. And the way, you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, exclusively, listen, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That means Mohammedanism, the Elephant Man, all these gods that are exclusive from this being right here cannot get to the Father except through, exclusively through Jesus Christ. Now, you want to put some kind of inclusiveness there? You go ahead. Go ahead. See where it gets you. Nowhere. Just put big goose eggs on it. As you're thinking about it, but that's all it is. That's all it is. These people that are serving other than God the Father and Jesus Christ have not exclusivity. But he says how to do it. Listen. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. But from this time forward, you know him and have seen him. You need to read the rest of it on your own behalf, brethren. I'm going to drop down to 14 and 15 quickly and move on. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. Because he was talking twofold. He talked to them, and he was talking to them, and it was still at the Passover time. Listen, when you go to John 13, it goes all the way through these here. He was talking to them at the Passover that they should keep the commandments of God and the commandments that had given them at the time, the washing of the feet, and that they should love one another exclusively. Listen to what I'm saying here. Christ never came to do away with the commandments of God. He only came to establish them. He says it in Matthew 5. I did not come to destroy the laws and the prophets, but I came to fulfill the laws. And as he goes on, even a child can see that if I could look out there and see anything going, that the laws of God stand. He said so. As long as you can see and look up to the sky and see the sun and all that stuff, the laws of God stand. What don't people understand about what I'm saying here? Exclusively, he says these things. He didn't speak with a question in his mouth. Christ never spoke with a question in his mouth, unless it had to be. But when it came to how to obey God, it was exclamation points. Never with a question where he wanted a man or a woman not to get what he was saying. Listen carefully, brethren, please. Romans 2. Romans 2. We're blessed on our way through it right now. But you need to be hearing these things today. Because the world right now is inclusive. And tomorrow they're going to be inclusive. And all that they're learning and teaching on the guise of Christianity and Jesus Christ is mostly inclusive. I'm showing you in the words of God. Understand these things. Listen. Listen. Romans 2. Romans 2. 9. 9 through 29. Listen carefully. I'm going to go as quickly as I can. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man who works out evil, both to the Jew first and to the Greek, which are the nations. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works good, both to the Jew first and to the nations. That's what it means. Because there is no respecter of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned within the law shall be judged by the law. That's very, very clear. They will be judged by the law of God. Everybody will. Because the hearers of the law are not just before God. In other words, walking with God. But the doers of the law shall be justified. I don't know what you're going to do with that. I don't know what Christianity does with that. Listen, for when the Gentiles do not have the law, but practice by nature the things contained in the law, listen, that's the last 6 commandments, not the first 4. They're not given the first 4. Only the last 6, the Gentiles out there. Even the little pygmies, where you and I have never seen, nor men have ever seen, go by this law and standard of the last 6 commandments. They don't know about the first four.
Why do you not have the law? Who do not have the law, our law unto themselves, according to the last six commandments, brethren, who show the work of the law written in their own hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their reasoning also, as they accuse or defend one another, in a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, that's found in John 5, around 22, according to my gospel that the Father judges no man. Below you are called a Jew, and you yourself rest in the law and boast in God, and know his will, which is to keep the commandments of God, and approve of these things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are persuaded that you yourself are a guide of the blind, a light of those in darkness, which most of the world are, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having a form of the knowledge and of the truth contained in the law. You then who are teaching another, do you not teach yourself also? You who preach, do you not steal? Do not steal. Are you stealing? Did God Almighty in your ears speak to you in Exodus 20? The same thing is being told to you and I right here in the New Testament doctrine. Listen, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, are you committing adultery? You who abhor idols, are you committing sacrilege? You who boast in the law, are you dishonoring God through your transgression of the law? For through you, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles, exactly how it is written. For on the one hand, circumcision profits if you are observing the law, but on the other hand, if you are transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcised is keeping the requirements of the law, shall not his circumcision be reckoned for circumcision? And shall not the uncircumcision by nature is fulfilling the law? Judge you, who with the letter and the circumcision are transgressors of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Listen, I said to this before. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither that circumcision which is external in the flesh. Rather, he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, who the praise is not from men, but from God Almighty. You have to be a spiritual Jew, brethren. And he continues on and on through the words of God. When you go to Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10, we're not going to go there right now for time's sake. Galatians 3, then we got John, Revelation. Boom, last scripture. Here we go. Galatians 3, 9 through 13. It is for this reason that those who are of faith are being blessed with the believing Abraham. As for as many as are relying on the works of law are under a curse, because it is written, cursed everyone who does not continue in the things that have been written in the book of the law to do them. That is in Deuteronomy 28. Therefore, it is evident that no one is being justified before God by the means of the law. Because it is written, the just shall live by faith. You cannot keep the commandments of God, and you have to say to God that you have to honor me because I kept your commandments faithfully. That's not the criteria. He wants both. But it's his free gift first, brethren. His free gift first. Now the law is not based on faith, but the man who practices these things shall live in them. In other words, you live in the law. You practice them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Listen carefully, brethren. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs
that hangs on a tree. 1 John 2. 1 John 2, we're going to go to Revelations, and last scripture is also in Revelation, and we're out of here. Hoping and praying that you heard and absorb all the things that you hear today. 1 John 2. Listen carefully, brethren. Listen carefully. 1 John 2. 1 John 2, here we go. 1 through 4. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin, which is always the transgression of the law found in the next chapter, which is chapter 3. We're not going there. And yet, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who did no sin. He did no sin. That's why he's called righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world, which he is. And by this standard, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments, and those are the commandments of God also. Never, ever try to twist those scriptures, brethren. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, truly is the love of God being perfected, is being perfected. By this means, we know that we are in him. Verse 6, anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself also to walk even as he walked. But he said right from the beginning, when we stumble and fall, paraphrasing real quick, he covers our sins, but we got to walk like he walked. And he had the knowledge of the standards of God, what they were, but he did them perfectly. Understand what's being said here, brethren. You and I must need to know this here. But with these things here also will be granted also the kingdom of God and eternal life. Listen carefully, brethren. Listen carefully to what's being said. Go with me to Revelations 2. Revelations 2, brethren. And we're going to stay in Revelation. It's going to be very short, Revelations 2. And then we're going to go for the last scripture. Revelation 2nd chapter. Revelation the 2nd chapter. 1 through 5. To the angel of Ephesus, don't forget he's writing to the churches of God that most of them he had a problem with. There was only two that God didn't have a real problem with at all. And they were doing, in God's eyes, what is just and justified. Listen. To the angel of Ephesus, the Ephesians church, write, these things say he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. The Lord walks in the midst of all his churches. Give you that idea, what he does. I know your works and your labor and your endurance, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you detest those who proclaim themselves to be apostles but are not, and did find them liars, and that you have borne much and have endured, and for my name's sake have labored and have not grown weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Brethren, may it never be that you and I leave and lose our first love, them that hold us, have the Spirit of God. Listen carefully here. That you have left. And you left your first love. Verse 5. Therefore, listen, remember from where you have fallen and repent. That's what God wants. That's the key. Repent and not practice sin. Repent and try your best not to do the thing you repented of. Listen, and do the first works. For if you do not, I will come to you quickly and I will remove your lampstand. outside of his place, unless you repent, I'm here to tell you, as almost Paul would say, almost with tears, that many churches that were churches of God have had their lampstands removed from them because of their practices and what they're doing and trying to be little gods. But not at this time. God has in store for you and I that we will be gods at this time, at that time when He says so, not now. We look to God Almighty. We don't look to men to condemn us and judge us. I try never to judge anybody. I might have an understanding to share what you're telling me, but never judging you. That's not my job. That's God's job. That's reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ. Never forget that, brethren. Still in Revelations, going for the last verse. Revelations 22. I want you to understand this. I want you to, please, again, deeply understand this. And I want you to put this in your heart from after all that you heard from Genesis to Exodus 20 that God Almighty spoke Himself, which was Christ before He became the Christ. And I want you to see again in this last scripture that we're going to the exclusivity that God is exclusive beyond any manly way, shape, or form of thinking. In this last verse that I'm going into, and if you could put inclusiveness here, well, you're a better man than I am. You really are. But are you right? No, you're not. But listen carefully. Revelations 22, verse 14. Listen carefully. Exclusiveness, and this is the bottom line again for you and I to be and have eternal life also, brethren. Blessed are those who keep His commandments from Genesis to Revelations. We're going out like on a comet. Listen. Blessed are those who keep His commandments, that they may have the right to eat of the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. And you can read what's excluded. May God bless each and every one of us.